I call this meeting to order, the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee. Welcome and good to see everybody again. We should announce we have a change to membership on the committee. Representative Schultz has been replaced by Representative Bliss, I believe. Is that correct? So a thank you and a welcome to those two who aren't here. So, members, it is Valentine's Day, and so we hope to move promptly through the agenda today. We have some minutes from last year. So, Vice Chair Jordan, have you looked over the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I have examined the minutes from Wednesday, March 29th, 2023, and I move their approval.
Representative Jordan moves the minutes for March 29th, 2023. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes have it. The motion prevails. How about the minutes for October 23rd?
I have also reviewed those minutes, Mr. Chair, and I move their approval.
Representative Jordan moves approval for the minutes for October 23rd, 2023. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The motion prevails, and the minutes of October 23rd, 2023 are adopted. First up, we have House File 3466, Representative Ream, Opportunities for Protecting Native Prairie Expanded. I will move that House File 3466 be placed on the General Register. Representative Ream.
Thank you, members, and happy Valentine's Day. I am here to present House File 3466, the Native Prairie Bank Program, and I'm here with Judy Elbert, SNA Unit Supervisor, and she will provide us with the details on this bill.
And before we do that, I think we have a clarifying amendment from House Research. Representative Jordan, do you want to move the A1 amendment?
Yes, I will move the A1 amendment, Mr. Chair.
And Ms. Taylor, do you want to describe what it does?
Mr. Chair and members, the A1 amendment would just clarify that the DNR would not be required to pay 65% if a landowner wanted to donate a portion of the easement.
Is there any discussion on the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it, and the amendment is adopted. Representative Ream, to the House File 3466 as amended.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. So, a brief summary. Prairies are recognized as one of the most threatened ecosystems in North America, and temperate grasslands as one of the most endangered in the world. In Minnesota, we are proud of our prairie land, and we want to do everything we can to preserve what we do have remaining. And I, like I said, I have Judy Elbert, the SNA unit supervisor here, who can help us go through the details of the bill and answer any questions you may have.
Ms. Elbert, welcome. If you could state your name for the record.
Yes, Judy Elbert. As Ms. Representative Ream introduced, I am the Scientific and Natural Areas Unit Supervisor. And for those of you who haven't met me before, I've spent the last 13 years specializing in native prairie protection and management throughout the state of Minnesota for the Scientific and Natural Areas Program. So, as Representative Ream noted, you know, prairies are recognized as one of the most threatened ecosystems in North America. Tall grass, prairies, savannas, and barren communities have declined by 98% nationwide. Prairies once covered about one-third of Minnesota's land area, 18 million acres. Yet today, only 1 to 2%, approximately 250,000 acres, of Minnesota's original native prairie still exists. 78% of these native prairies are ranked globally critically imperiled or imperiled, with the other 22% being globally vulnerable. Currently, 53% of Minnesota's native prairie remains unprotected. That's about 126,000 acres. These prairies serve as critical habitat for a disproportionate number of rare species. In Minnesota, 41% of the state's rare species are associated with native prairie. Even though native prairies comprise less than 0.5% of Minnesota's land area, So if you think about that, protecting and managing 0.5% of Minnesota's land base could improve and conserve habitat for 41% of the state's rare species and protect globally critically imperiled native prairie. The need to protect native prairie and manage it has been a conservation priority for decades. This isn't a new concern. The Native Prairie Bank program was created in statute in 1986. I was 2 years old. but we need to improve the tools we have in our toolbox to improve our ability to manage these native prairies and protect them so that my kid isn't sitting here in 30 years having this same conversation. So this proposal serves to strengthen the Native Prairie Bank program and to better protect vulnerable native prairie lands in Minnesota by addressing the following problems. Number one, it increases the Native Prairie Bank easement payment rates to ensure rates are commensurate with the level of protection offered by the program. Currently, Native Prairie Bank easement payments are lower than other state and federal grassland easement programs that offer less protection and less long-term management support. The current payment environment incentivizes landowners to pursue easements with lower protection standards through programs that have less capacity to meet the high level of management these high-quality prairies require. This change will ensure Native Prairie Bank payments are proportionate to the higher level of protection and management that is offered by our program. Additionally, this proposal seeks to authorize the commissioner to pay more for fee title acquisitions of Native Prairie. This change would eliminate potential payment conflicts between easements and fee title purchases of Native Prairie lands. The second change would allow Native Prairie Bank easements to be placed on school trust lands. Approximately 5%, 7,000 acres, of Minnesota's remaining unprotected Native Prairie occurs on school trust lands, 3,000 of which are in potential threat of aggregate. Public lands set aside for a specific purpose that school trust lands are to fund public education. At present, the existing statute does not allow Native Prairie Bank easements to be placed on school trust lands. By allowing Native Prairie Bank easements to be placed on school trust lands, the state would create essentially a win-win situation. We would be protecting and managing these rare resources while providing additional revenue for the permanent school fund. We'd be able to tell our children that we not only protected the Native Prairie, but we also supported the schools. Number three for changes is to update the definition of Native Prairie to align with current DNR definitions. The existing definition of Native Prairie in the statute is out of date. It does not align well with our current Native Plant Community Classification System and current DNR definitions. This proposal seeks to update the definition in the statute to better reflect current scientific knowledge of prairie communities. These easements allow DNR to co-manage these globally critically imperiled native prairies with landowners for an all-boots-on-the-ground teamwork approach. So in summary, we are talking about 53% of 0.5%, which is about 0.3% of Minnesota's land base, that houses globally critically imperiled native prairie and contains 41% of the state's rare species. This isn't just real estate. This is Minnesota's biodiversity. And we need this proposal to improve the tools we have to protect and manage it. Thank you.
Members, any questions for Ms. Albert? Representative Brand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think a couple of years ago, I was talking to Scott Ramel, the regional director for Southern Minnesota, where I represent, and I think he said something to the effect of, in the geography of Southern Minnesota, there's only 2% of the land that's public land, and of that, only a fraction of that is native prairie. Do you know specifically how much of that 2% is prairie?
I don't know that stat right off the top of my head, but it's extremely low. I covered that region that Scott covers, the Southwest 32 counties, for 4 years doing prairie work. And I can't give you stats, but I can tell you that it's a long drive between prairies and they're very small and we're slowly connecting them to each other through the prairie plan work.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just confirming, I'm not aware of any opposition to this bill. Just wanted to check and see if there is anybody that has raised concerns.
No one has raised concerns to me to date, and we've reached out to a lot of stakeholders and those impacted, and they've all supported it so far.
That's all.
I think we have a testifier in favor, David Ruff, the Nature Conservancy. And while Mr. Ruff is coming forward, there is a in your packet a letter that's in support of House File 3466 as well.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Hansen, members of the committee. My name is David Ruff. It's nice to see some of you from the Legacy Committee hearing earlier this morning. It was nice that this was on the same day so I could stick around and speak in support of it as a fellow prairie lover. So my name is David Ruff. I'm a conservation program manager with the Nature Conservancy in Minnesota. The Nature Conservancy works to protect the lands and waters on which all life depends for people and nature. And in Minnesota, prairie is a really important part of that equation. We support this bill. It expands the opportunities to protect the native prairie in the state. And I just, you know, want to reiterate the importance of making this program that does have, you know, protections and management opportunities specifically designed for prairie competitive with some of the other programs that aren't specific to prairie. The Nature Conservancy, we do a lot of work with partners, the DNR, landowners to protect native prairie as well. You know, we use our best science to make sure that those restorations and the protection work that we do is ensuring it's diverse and resilient to the threats of climate change coming forward. And the Prairie Bank program is an important partner in that work, and it fits in well with what we do. And so we see it as really important to make sure that that program stays as effective and competitive as possible. And so with that, Chair Hansen, committee members, I just want to thank you for your consideration of the important proposal and also thank Representative Ream for her work on the bill.
Members, any additional questions? Is there anyone else in the, Representative Burkle? Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Anyone else in the audience? Representative Ream, any closing comments?
Thank you, Chair Hansen. So I thought about if this bill had a theme song, I'd play the Little House on the Prairie theme song, but I listened to it and I thought you can listen to it at home. But Minnesota has long had a history of preserving our state land, and so I think it makes sense. We're known for the prairie. Southwestern Minnesota is gorgeous, and we want to preserve what we do have left of prairie land, so I think this is a real win-win for our state. Thank you for letting me present the bill.
I renew my motion that House File 3466 as amended be placed on the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion prevails. Congratulations. First bill of the session. Next up, House File 3376, Representative Greenman. Representative Jordan, do you want to move this one?
Representative Jordan.
Laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I will move that House File 3376 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill.
Representative Greenman, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you. It's nice to be here. This is my first time in Environment Committee, my second term, but my first time, and I have a really controversial bill to start with. What this bill does is it makes clear that Minnesotans can use a digital photocopy on their phone or a photocopy of their hunting or fishing license for the purposes of that license. And so for folks who know, I have a copy of a fishing license and a hunting license, and all this bill would do was just ensure that hunters and fishers, if you want to go out, you can take a picture of it and you can have it on your phone. It is my understanding that having talked to the DNR, that's actually when folks have it on their phone, that they their current practice, and I've let them speak to this, is to not cite folks, but I know that we have had a few constituents reach out that have been cited, and so what this does, it just makes very clear that for the next 2 years, or as long as it takes to get up the new system, that if you have a paper copy and you take a photo of it, you can use it when you're out there hunting or fishing. And, Mr. Chair, that is the extent of the bill, and I believe that the DNR is here and whoever else is here to testify.
I think first up we have John Swanson, a citizen. Is John Swanson here? If not, Robert Gorecki, Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
Good afternoon. I'm Lieutenant Robert Gorecki, Assistant Director for the DNR Enforcement Division. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the DNR is supportive of the intent of this bill. Under current Minnesota law, a licensed hunter or angler must present a physical copy upon request of a licensed peace officer if a physical copy was purchased, such as a gas station or at a bait shop. This is inconsistent with people who purchase their licenses electronically or online with our current regulations that we have in effect. This bill would allow the digital copy of the license to work for all types of licenses, whether purchased online or at a gas station or bait shop. With this said, the DNR is moving to a completely new online electronic-only licensing system in 2025. The DNR is in the process of bringing forward a comprehensive licensing package to address all of the needed changes to address the new electronic licensing system, including this licensing inconsistency. The DNR also looks forward to working with the author on this bill for any technical fixes that may be needed to make this move forward. And for that, we stand for any questions you may have.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a comment in support of this bill. So I'm a first-time hunter since you all saw me last. When the Lieutenant Governor invites you to pheasant hunt, you figure out how to do that. And for me, that was doing the online course. And so although I was able to meet with some DNR folks to get some particular training, that part was not necessary. So I was actually unaware. I had just moved. I don't have a printer. So I was unaware that perhaps I was breaking the law by only having my license electronically. So when I heard that Representative Greenman was bringing this bill, I promised I would come clean and just give my enthusiastic support. I think the fewer barriers we have to people participating in our hunting and fishing, which, as I like to talk about, is in our Constitution, the better. And so thank you for bringing this forward, Representative Greenman. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just to make it clear, electronic copies that are purchased online are currently legal for proof of license, so you did not break the law.
Any other questions? Representative Lee.
Thank you, Chair. And maybe to the Lieutenant, so just to clarify then, are we saying that if I have a physical copy but I take a picture on my phone, that counts this under this law, that will, if this was to pass, that will count moving forward?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, that is correct.
Any other questions? Representative Jordan, do you want to renew the motion? Oh, Representative Greenman, would you like to say a few final words?
I would just say,
before that, I'm just a little rusty, folks. I mean, it's the first. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Representative Greenman.
As I said, and I think as Representative Purcell's story makes clear, and we're all glad that you didn't violate the law. This is just common sense, and it's exciting that we're making a transition to a whole new system. What this is meant to do is say in the next year or so that it takes, that folks know and can feel confident that they can take a picture of it and leave their paper at home. So with that, I'd ask for your support.
Representative Jordan.
With that, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 3376 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill.
The bill is laid over. Next up, House File 3377, and Vice Chair Jordan will be chairing.
Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move House File 3377 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Representative Hansen moves that House File 3377 be referred to Ways and Means. Representative Hansen, would you like to explain your bill for the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And House File 3377 is the recommendations from the Legislative and Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. It appropriates $79,644,000 in fiscal year 2025 from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. It is broken down into a variety of topics. It's the result of 17 members, 10 legislators, and 7 citizens who met throughout the summer reviewing projects and making recommendations. And it achieved the amount of members for recommendation, and we have that bill in front of us. In addition, we have reviewed, the bill was recommended from the language was reviewed and recommended by the commission at its last meeting, second to the last meeting, not the last meeting. And then also has been reviewed by nonpartisan staff for any technical corrections, and we found none. So there are no amendments. The bill is as it is, and I have with me Ms. Becca Nash to walk through the bill in summary, and there is a spreadsheet in your packet as well. Ms. Nash.
Ms. Nash, please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I'm Becca Nash. I'm the Director of the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources, the LCCMR for short. I had planned on giving an overview of the trust fund and the LCCMR, but I think the chair and author did that for us. So I'll just go ahead and let you know that as our standard process for making recommendations to the legislature on spending from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, which is a constitutionally dedicated source of funding that serves the purpose of supporting activities to protect, conserve, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other natural resources. We usually start out with an annual request for proposal. People from all around the state apply to us, and the commission vets those projects and hears presentations. We also have research projects that apply to us, go through external peer review through experts in fields all across the United States. And then, as Representative Hansen mentioned, the projects that are recommended by the commission get packaged up in a bill and are there for you today. This year, we had available for appropriation $79,644,000. In response to our RFP, we received 218 proposals requesting approximately $174 million. And after their vetting process, the commission decided to recommend 101 projects for funding from the legislature. The recommendations also included some changes to and carry forwards from previous year's appropriations. Unless there are any questions, I can keep going on the high-level review of the bill.
Please proceed, Director Nash.
Great, thank you. Madam Chair, members, the bill breaks down, as Representative Hansen said, the bill breaks down project funding into different categories that reflect the priorities that we put in our annual request for proposals. The first category is Subdivision 3. This is Foundational Natural Resources Data and Information. In this section, there are 28 recommendations totaling $14,993,000. Subdivision 4 includes projects related to water resources. There are 13 recommendations in this subdivision totaling approximately $7 million. Subdivision 5 is environmental education and includes approximately $11 million for 22 projects. Subdivision 6 is aquatic and terrestrial invasive species and includes about $8 million for 4 projects. Subdivision 7 is air quality, climate change, and renewable energy. This is about $5 million for 5 projects. Subdivision 8 is methods to protect or restore land, water, and habitat, and this is about $11 million for 16 projects. Subdivision 9 is land acquisition, habitat, and recreation, and includes $20 million for 10 projects. And Subdivision 10 is administrative and emerging issues, and this includes approximately $2 million for 4 appropriations. Subdivisions 11 through 17 are conditions of funding that typically get included every year. What you see before you today is the same as what we have done in past years, with one exception. There's a provision that requires that conservation easements that are proposed to be acquired get sent to LCCMR for review before closing. We usually have 10 days for that review, and we're asking for 20 days in advance to give us a little bit more time. Subdivision 18 includes funding carry forwards and extensions. So these are previous projects that just need a little bit more time. Sections 3 through 7, starting on page 47, are technical changes to prior appropriations. We have one technical correction related to the Loon Center, which was funded in 2019. And it's putting in some provisions related to acquisition requirements and capital construction project requirements that were put into law last year. This is to reflect some changes that the Loon Center has requested and that allow change of location for the construction of that building. The rest of the technical changes are releasing projects from requirements to return revenues to the trust fund, revenues that are earned on projects, and those affect the Crane Lake Voyageurs National Park Visitor Center, Silver Bay Trailhead, Floodwood Campground, and a project called Developing Markets for Continuing Living Cover Crops. That is the walkthrough.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on this bill? Great. I think we'll go to questions from members. And I have Representative Heintzman on my list.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the bill author, do we know if this is going to be traveling on its own or going to be rolled into another omnibus?
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Heintzman, it's my intent to have it go solo as fast as possible. I talked with the Ways and Means Chair, probably just with the way the days are lining up. It probably will not be in Ways and Means on the 19th, but would be on the 26th. I believe the Senate is hearing it tomorrow. So we want to run it separately like it used to be, rather than having it rolled in the end. And that, I think, provides some clarity for the project proposers that they know that the money is coming.
Representative Feinstein?
That's great. Thank you.
Any further questions from members? I see Representative Brand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Hansen, my question is this. I know in previous bienniums we've only had one of these bills in the 2 years, but this is the normal way to do things. One, two, every biennium we're supposed to have two of these out, right? Yeah. I mean, we're continuing to fund these projects so that new projects can come online and we can continue to use the public's dollars for the public good, correct?
Yep.
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, yes, Representative Brand. I think we did get it solo last year, but it was in the omnibus bill at the end. I think it was the 2021, there was a skip. 2020. So we need to get back in the pattern of considering these relatively early and solo, I think.
Thank you.
Representative Hansen, do you have any closing comments?
I want to give Ms. Nash the opportunity to give an advertisement for the request for proposals for the summers and also the strategic planning
efforts. Director Nash?
Madam Chair and members, thank you, Representative Hansen. That's right. We currently, so for our next cycle, for the recommendations that would be coming to you during next session, we have our RFP open, and there's going to be even more money available, and we have that posted on our website. We're also advertising it through media, social media, and I think we, in fact, emailed it to every single legislator. So we're happy to help you further get the word out to your constituents. We're also advertising that staff are available to help answer any questions and even review draft proposals for, especially for new applicants, because it can be, we just want to make it accessible to everybody who has a good idea and wants to apply for funding from this fund.
Representative Hansen, would you like to renew your motion?
I renew my motion that House File 3377 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
All those in favor of this motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. And the motion prevails.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, would you like to say anything else before we adjourn for the day?
A roadmap, perhaps?
I would appreciate one.
So, members, I think Mr. Strohmeyer has posted bills for next week. So we have extended producer responsibility on Tuesday. That will be a large bill. There are a couple other bills that are posted and the potential we could add another bill. Obviously, we had some extra time on the calendar today and around the on the clock today, and so it's my hope that with the time we have, we use that for considering legislation and moving it forward. So, and then Wednesday, we are still looking at, we've posted some things, we may add other bills. We will not meet, it's my understanding, on the 27th of February because that's precinct caucus day. I think we are meeting on the afternoon of the 28th because I think people are coming back in the morning. I think that's the plan right now. So our goal here is, if you look at, you know, the bills posted, we're getting a lot of legislation that's proposed legislation that's coming our way. And so we want to make sure we get things posted, we get bills heard. Some of those bills that have to go to multiple committees, we want to kind of hear them first. We do have agency bills. We heard one of those today. But we have members with a lot of bills that we want to hear. So,
thank you for that. And with that, members, it was a shorter day, and we are adjourned.